you take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, the radical Russ Melville.
Hello there.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, March 23rd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh my goodness, it's good to be back in the captain's chair here at Rolla J Studios. As you know, I was out last week, made my way to Eugene, Oregon for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Also made my way to Fort Worth, Texas, where I debated for the first time ever. Texas Christian University had a public discussion of marijuana legalization. And I was there debating Ben Court from Project Sam. And let's just say a floor was mopped, some names were taken, and an ass or two was kicked. Oh my gosh. Ben, of course, had all the standard Project Sam talking points about how awful marijuana is for the children and how big marijuana is coming to create a whole new fresh set of addicts. I wish I could have recorded it for you, but unfortunately I was contractually forbidden from recording or live streaming any of the debate, and I don't know if anybody else did. So it may have been a debate that just went into the ether, but the folks at DFW Normal were there, and the Texas Cannabis Report wrote up a nice piece on the debate. Check out txcann.com, TexCan, Texas Cannabis Report, for that information. And then I spent three more days there in Fort Worth, Texas, hanging out with the people from Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. And coming up on the show today, you'll get to see my interview with Barbara Humphreys. She is a breast cancer survivor and a medical marijuana patient fighting for safe access in Texas. She's been on the news, she's been at the State House, and now she's on the Russ Melville Show. We tried to bring that to you live on Thursday. Unfortunately, our remote setup did not work as expected, but we did get a nice recorded interview, so check that out coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also on the show today, it is Monday, so it's time to take your medicine. We've got a live dose of Dr. Mitch Earlywine with our cannabis Q&A segment, and we're debuting a brand new toll-free telephone number you can call in. If you've got a question for Dr. Mitch, you can call in toll-free now. Don't have to dial that Oregon number. Our toll-free number is 84-420 Radio. That's 844-207-2346. 84-420 Radio. Or you can still dial the old number at 971-533-7111. Also coming up on the show, more features from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. We have got the Cannabusiness Chronicles, where we spoke with CeCe Stanton with U.S. Debit Services. They make a cashless ATM system for recreational and medical marijuana facilities. And we spoke with Steve Mangan in our Government at Work segment. He's with the Eugene, Oregon Water and Electric Board, which is doing a public service campaign to encourage marijuana growers to contact them for proper electrical and water setups for their indoor marijuana grows. Kind of amazing when usually it's the electric board or the electric bills that are getting you busted in the prohibition states. Here, the electrical utilities want to help you grow marijuana. That's pretty amazing. All that's coming up today on the Russ Melville Show. But first, we start with the 420 Radio News, where we've got data from Colorado's marijuana excise tax and how much it's bringing into schools. We got legislators in Massachusetts trying to make an end run around legalization. We've also got a Louisiana legislature who is looking to legalize. We have got Florida's legislature putting the kibosh on whole plant medical marijuana, and a Tennessee medical marijuana bill being drawn up for the very first time. All that coming up next on the Russ Melville Show, and stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got more videos, Bacon Dan with some Roots Monday Daily Toker tunes, and more talk about the news of the day. Stick around, the news is next.
Marijuana Nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We are Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Big Daddy thinks.
What's happening? Big Daddy here, and I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 23rd, 2015. The Colorado State Marijuana Excise Tax brought in more than $2 million for school construction projects in January, and when the state starts awarding grants for projects this summer, the tax will contribute about $16 million. That's as much as the total given out by the Building Excellent Schools Today, or BEST grant program, all last year, according to Scott Newell, Capital Construction Director for the Colorado Department of Education. Quote, this year we're going to give out $50 million in grants and we expect to be at that level for the next few years, end quote. The state also is readying for another $2.5 million from pot taxes so interested schools can hire health professionals. Next year, officials estimate the pot contribution to the BEST grants will be about $10 million. The marijuana excise tax, which is 15% on unprocessed recreational pot sales in its first sale, netted about $3 million from January through June 30th. Massachusetts legislators are working on a marijuana legalization proposal in part as an effort to short-circuit an expected 2016 ballot push. Advocates have long planned an initiative petition to legalize the personal use of the drug for adults, and political analysts have expected that measure to pass in the next presidential election year. The legislators would rather write the proposed law themselves, allow for lots of public input, and have final say on the scope and details. Opposition from top officials could doom a legislative push. Governor Charlie Baker, Attorney General Maura Healey, and Mayor Martin J. Walsh of Boston all opposed legalizing marijuana for personal use. Strong majorities approved measures that decriminalized possession of small amounts of marijuana in 2008 and allowed its use for medical purposes in 2012. In 2016, political analysts expect legalization to get on the ballot and pass into law. A Louisiana legislator has proposed putting marijuana legalization to a statewide vote during the presidential election in 2016. Representative Dalton Honor, a Democrat of Baton Rouge, has filed legislation to put possession, distribution, and dispensing of marijuana and its derivatives on the Louisiana ballot November 8, 2016. Voters would be deciding on not only the presidential race, but also congressional seats that day as well. Honor said, marijuana criminal charges have ruined too many lives in Louisiana. As of June 2013, 1,372 Louisianans were serving sentences for simple marijuana possession. The average sentence is 8.4 years. More than 78% of these offenders are black. Honor has heard privately from several legislators who support marijuana legalization but don't feel they can openly vote for its approval. But he thinks some of these lawmakers might be able to vote for a bill that would let the voters decide on how they feel about the drug. Non-euphoric pot may nudge forward in the Florida legislature this year, but the window for a full-fledged medical marijuana system has all but slammed shut. A bill by Senator Jeff Brandis, Republican of St. Petersburg, that would allow broad use of medical marijuana has not been scheduled for a committee hearing. Neither has a companion House bill, and the deadline for that is today. Nor has leadership in either chamber made marijuana a high priority. Brandis' bill would have allowed doctors to qualify patients with several diagnoses and symptoms, including pain, and would have allowed treatment with any strain of marijuana. But so far, the legislature seems more focused on implementing a limited system of non-euphoric pot, often called Charlotte's Web, which desperate parents want for children with severe seizures. In a fundraising letter Friday, United for Care told supporters that news from Tallahassee, quote, ain't looking good, end quote. A Tennessee medical marijuana bill being carefully drawn for the first time by Republican state lawmakers will not allow recipients to smoke cannabis. Instead, those drafting the legislation say the measure would allow the cannabis to be ingested or applied externally through oil. Last week, the two Republican bill sponsors, Representative Ryan Williams of Putnam County and Nashville MD Senator Steve Dickerson, indicated that the medical marijuana bill would be limited in scope. Capitol Hill lobbyist David McManam, whose firm has been hired to help guide the controversial bill through the Republican-dominated legislature, called it a carefully controlled measure with a limited delivery method. He said the medical marijuana bill would aim to help people with conditions such as glaucoma or MS, but, quote, not those with chronic pain or PTSD, end quote. McManam added the bill will be crafted, quote, so conditions can't be faked or gamed, end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 23rd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
It's Rock Olas here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most eco-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity.
It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You get a nug! You get a nug! Everybody gets nugs!
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
We return to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
To the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Joining me at the table, we have CeCe Stanton from U.S. Debit Services. Hi, CeCe.
Hi.
How are you doing for this
conference? I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. I see Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's where our home office is based out of, but we actually service all of the states that are in medicinal mode at this time.
Okay, so U.S. Debit Services, I imagine this has to do with the fact that the legal marijuana businesses in this country are being refused banking services. Is that where you guys come in?
We come in on the part of being able to supply a cash alternative for the dispensaries.
Like ATMs?
So, yeah, like an ATM, but we are more of a cashless ATM is what we call ourselves. So basically, you will have a terminal at your point of sale at your dispensary.
Uh-huh.
Your customers and your patients are allowed to swipe their cards, their debit cards, just as they would if they went to an ATM to take out money.
Okay.
There's a small convenience charge to the customer, and then the cash is electronically transferred from their account to yours.
Oh, okay, so this means, unlike most situations where I have to go to the dispensary, hit the ATM, get the cash out, give it to them, they take the cash, eventually put it somewhere.
Right.
We're just going to avoid the whole cash part.
We're avoiding the whole cash part, and it creates a lower risk for the dispensaries because they don't have all this cash on hand. The banks love it because they don't have all these cash deposits. Now they have, you know, electronic deposits. You see a return, you know, a lot quicker, and you don't have to worry about, you know, the management or the employees having to take cash to the bank, and, you know, the whole process of that it can be exhausting, and a lot of banks don't like all this cash. It's too much cash for these banks to hold, the ones that are accepting cannabis businesses to be part of their bank. So that's another problem with the system, is it's a lot of cash on hand for the banks as well, and a lot of banks don't have the manpower to create the reports that are required by the government in order to track the monies.
Gotcha. Now, is this a service that you guys came up with in response to the cannabis industry, or is it something you've been offering previous that you've now tailored to the cannabis industry?
No, actually, this is critiqued directly for the cannabis industry. So we actually just started U.S. Debit Services a year ago, and so we found that there was a niche in the market and a hole in the whole thing, because Visa and MasterCard aren't going to sponsor any of this. They don't back any of this because technically it's illegal to use a Visa MasterCard credit card to purchase cannabis with.
Okay,
so that's why those big banks and Visa, MasterCard, Amex, that's why none of them are involved in this. So this strictly is looked at as a more efficient way of transferring funds, just electronically.
You know, when I have a debit card, though, it usually has a MasterCard or Visa logo on it. How does that not affect the debit side of things?
Right, because the way that the system operates, like I said, it operates more on the ATM basis. It operates more as a cashless ATM.
MasterCard and Visa aren't seeing a charge for something marijuana-related. They're just seeing a cash transfer.
They're seeing an ATM withdrawal on your side as the customer. It'll show up on your bank's end as an ATM withdrawal.
Okay.
And then on the merchant side, it's put in as an electronic deposit.
Oh.
So there is no credit transaction. There's no credit being held.
And
it's simply a funds transfer.
And there's no paperwork of it being about marijuana.
Right.
Other than the vendor that's being paid.
Yeah, and we recommend that as the merchant, as the retailer, we recommend that you're working with a bank that's fully disclosed of what you're doing and knows the business operations that you're in.
Okay.
Because it's very important that they know we're not in it for a shell game.
Okay.
We don't want that, and we don't play in that arena.
Okay.
So if there's somebody that's operating under the auspices of a shell corporation and they're not giving their full identity to their bank, then that's somebody that we probably wouldn't work with.
Gotcha.
You know.
Now, you mentioned that you're active in all the states that have medical dispensaries. Is this something also offered to the legal states and their pot shops?
Yeah, on the recreational side of things, the processing company that handles all of this is not comfortable with that level yet, but at this time...
That's probably because the feds have, you know, kind of gone hands-off on medical.
Right, and that's the thing is, because of the federal requirements and restrictions, they're still kind of playing the game as, you know, we want to be safe going into this, and we want to make sure we take the right steps forward, because we don't want to take two steps back a year from now.
Sure.
You know, and we want our consumers, our customers, those that we're servicing, we want to make sure that they are getting the full and upfront trust from us as well. We don't, you know, we don't want to make them promises that we can't keep either.
Gotcha.
So,
CC from U.S. Debit Services, and if people want to get in touch with you, because it sounds like a service a lot of folks could use, how do they find you?
We're located on the web at usdebitservices.com, and then we also have a toll-free number at 855-749-6121.
All right. Cece Stanton, thank you so much for helping these businesses and, you know, helping keep them safe, the community safe, by avoiding these cash-only places that are such attractive robbery targets.
Yes.
You're doing a real valiant service here. We really could use it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Just a little bit of mariachi music there, but big thanks to Cece Stanton and everyone from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. It was a very, very lucrative trip for me. We'll tell you more about that throughout the rest of this week, but let's just say big things happening in 420 Radio. We are back with our government at work, Steve Mangan from the Eugene Water and Electric Board, coming up next.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Hey, this is Big Daddy. Big Daddy.
I like it like that.
I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopp. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers. Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
All right, everyone, we're here at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, and joining me at the desk, we've got Steve Mangan, who is a key accounts manager with the Eugene Water and Electric Board. You're like the power company here in Eugene, right?
We are the electric and water company. That's correct.
Fantastic. And the thing that caught my eye here from your booth is this headline on this little flyer: let us know before you grow. It reminds me of the call us before you dig signs.
Very much.
This is your public service campaign, I think?
It is indeed. We're looking to promote the safe and efficient use of electricity as it relates to a new and exciting industry, the cannabis industry. This is going to touch many of the customers that we have, from the residential, small commercial, and large commercial. Our thinking is we want our customers to use our products safely, and that is our charter, to look and make sure our customers are aware of efficiency opportunities as well as safety.
Yeah, you know, of course, growers go through a whole lot of electricity and a whole lot of water, so it's fascinating to me that we've got a city board board that's in charge of this stuff that is so open about this. You know, I think a lot of cities want to bury their head in the sand and pretend this isn't happening. Was this, I mean, Eugene's a pretty progressive place. This wasn't too difficult for you to pull off.
Sure, just a small correction there. The Eugene Water and Electric Board is governed by a separate body.
Okay.
So we have our own elected representatives. There's five commissioners. We believe that the opportunity here is to serve our citizen owners.
Okay.
And this is a huge issue for a community like Eugene, and we will make sure that it's done in a safe and efficient manner. By the way, efficiency is a charter for us. We've been promoting efficiency for over 30 years, and there's a very strong connection between efficiency and the electrical use of consumption and the manufacture of growing cannabis.
What are some of the tips that you would give people as far as that?
Well, the easy ones, of course, safety as it relates to grounded service, having the associated or proper service size. But for the commercial operations where there's three-phase power, this is not a do-it-yourself industry. This requires engineering and professionals, which is what we're trying to promote. Arbor Services supporting their business.
Yeah, in the past, under Prohibition, and not just in Oregon, but all over the country, one of the problems that has come about from people trying to guerrilla grow, you know, trying to keep it secret and clandestine, is not wanting to call the electrician or the engineer who understands what's going on, do it yourself, end up with bad wiring, fires, all sorts of terrible things. Has there been a statistical change in how many of these types of problems you've had since doing this?
Well, I don't know about a statistical change. There's not a lot of detail out there. It's emerging now.
Sure.
We've got sister utilities both in Colorado and Washington that have shared a lot of information with us, which helped us get up to speed much sooner than maybe they did. They were blazing a trail. We've taken those lessons, and we're looking at farming them for our citizen owners and making sure that we don't encounter some of those same rubs, particularly electrocutions and fires. Transformers do blow up. We've had that on occasion. It's something that we're very mindful of and want to ensure that folks know they can contact us before they grow.
And call before you grow.
Let them
know before you grow. You can learn about the different power options. 100% green power. What's all about that?
100% green power. That means that the electrons used in the production of electricity come from carbon-free sources, primarily hydro sources.
Okay.
And wind.
Oh, okay.
Biomass.
Transformer and server sizing assistant, sufficient electrical capacity to serve new and expanding businesses. I mean, I guess that must be a consideration too, is that your typical warehouse you might rent out might not be set up for these kinds of things.
Right. They definitely are not. This is a highly intensive electric business. And on the face of it, I don't think most folks realize the type of infrastructure that's required to safely produce cannabis. You're looking at something in the order of 50 watts per square foot. When you look at that on a, let's say, 1,500 square foot basis, that's a relatively small grow. That's a $40,000 a year bill in some industries or some utility service areas. EWEB, we're highly competitive. It's about a $6,800 or so savings by using electricity that comes from Eugene Water and Electric Board. Similarly, on the source side, EWEB is long in power. So like some communities that do not have sufficient power to support this industry, those added costs would be peanut buttered over the rest of the customers that are already on the system. We are in a little different position. We own and operate a number of our own hydro resources, and we have power to spare.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And the other side of this, the water side of this, high quality, competitively priced water. What sort of water difficulties do people run into?
Yeah, the Eugene community is blessed with some of the most pristine water on the planet. That's not an overstatement. We're sourced currently out of the McKenzie River, soon to be bring on another source, but the McKenzie is pure 100% snowmelt. It's a 5,000-year hydroelectric process or hydro process where snow melts in the Cascades and slowly percolates through the strata rock and emerges quite literally at the headwaters of the McKenzie. That is the source of drinking water for the Eugene community, low in constituents. The advantages to a pure water source, particularly if you're looking at manufacturing manufacturing processes or reverse osmosis, you just don't have the same operating costs with a pure source of water. And that's the McKenzie River.
Oh, wow. This is a wonderful opportunity for these people here at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference to understand and let them know before you grow. Get your electricity and your water down professionally. These folks are here to work with you. This is Steve Mangan. And Steve, can you give people some contact info if they want to know more?
Sure. I can be reached at the Eugene Water Electric Board. My phone number there direct is 541-685-7376. And my email is steve.mangan, that's spelled M-A-N-G-A-N, at eweb.org. steve.mangan@eweb.org.
And Steve, thank you so much for what you're doing and bringing some professional and safety and ecologically aware motivation to this. The public education is so important, and we're glad you're doing it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that out. That public education piece is key to us. Thanks for 420 Radio. Real pleasure to be here. I really appreciate the time, and thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll go back to the conference now.
Bye.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's on the line from SUNY Albany. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, superb, superb.
Glad to have you here, and missed you last week. My apologies for that. I was out on the road, but we had a really good conference down in Eugene, Oregon. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also a quick reminder, we've got a new toll-free number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Mitch. The phone number is 84-420-RADIO. That's right, 84-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346, toll-free. Or you can dial the old-fashioned way, 971-533-7111. We're also looking in our chat room for your questions, but while we get those questions rounded up, we always give Dr. Mitch the first word in cannabis science. What's the latest, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, as you've probably mentioned, we got more data on pot potency increases, some wild stuff about suspending students when they're busted for pot, more economic data, and just all kinds of stuff.
All right. Well, you know, on Tuesday, I was in Fort Worth at Texas Christian University. I was debating a Project Sam guy, Ben Court, who informed me that today's marijuana is not your father's Woodstock weed. So maybe we should talk about that first. It's a new study coming out. Is this one from Colorado on pot potency?
That's where the main lab is, and it's funny because it's getting more coverage than it actually has journal pages so far, so I don't want to go too far with it, but we're definitely seeing some peaks, you know, at the 30% THC range, which is definitely not the Woodstock weed, But I think the tacit assumption is people are smoking as much as they used to, and that's really not the case either. So I have to emphasize that stronger cannabis actually has the potential to decrease exposure to, you know, respiratory irritants, and so I don't want to make too much of this. But yeah, there's more THC in cannabis now than there was in the 1970s.
You know, an interesting thing happened during our debate. One of the points that Ben Court kept trying to make is that there's an inverse relationship between the kids' perception of risk and how likely they are to try or use cannabis. If they think it's really risky, they don't use it. If they don't think it's risky, they use it a lot. And I kind of made the point that, yeah, but back in the 70s, 80s, you were telling them it was like brain damage from an atomic weapon, and it was going to cause psychosis and man boobs and all these other terrible things. Of course, people's perceptions went down. I'm wondering, is there a similar phenomenon here with the potency in that, you know, the early Woodstock weed tests maybe weren't testing the weed as potent as it really was back then?
Oh, there's definitely a vast underestimation of the THC levels in the 70s because we didn't understand how THC degraded. So the pot would get, you know, busted, thrown in some hot evidence locker at the police station. You know, you'd wait a month and then send it down to Mississippi to get it evaluated. So, you know, they'd say, oh, it was 2% THC. Well, if you give somebody 2% THC pot in the lab, they think it's placebo. You know, it clearly was not a good estimate. I do think the idea that 6 to 8% THC back then was probably a fair guess. But, you know, then we've probably tripled. But, yeah, these rants and ravings about, oh, it's 10 times stronger than it used to be. It's 100 times stronger than it used to be. You know, that's just not true.
I always like to make the point, and this is something that Rick Steves, another normal board member, has said, that he has a speech called High is a Place. And so I like to say that the Woodstock weed was like a skateboard, and today's weed might be like a bicycle. You might get there faster, but you're still going to the same place.
And in fact, you know, back in the day, people would sit down and smoke two joints. Now everybody gets one hit.
Yeah.
So it's really not a fair comparison to say, oh, it's so much stronger, therefore it's a million times more dangerous.
Right, and that's the famous song, Smoke Two Joints in the Morning. A couple comments on this from our chat room. Runaround made the point was, were they testing the whole plant back in the 60s and 70s and now just testing the buds?
No, they at least knew not to, like, throw the stem back then. No, El Soli knows his stuff as far as that stuff is concerned, but a good question nonetheless.
All right, so a question from Runaround here is, we know what normal levels of cannabinoids are in the human body, and can taking large amounts of certain cannabinoids make you more sensitive to other cannabinoids? And he's like, if you take a whole lot of CBD, would you be more sensitive to THC or vice versa?
Only if done simultaneously, and you know, anytime we start combining things, the research gets super complicated. So we have seen that CBD does seem to moderate the way THC is experienced, but generally in a good way, less magical ideation, less of those weird so-called psychotic features. But it's not as if experience with one leads to some kind of cross tolerance with another. THC tends to work on that CB1 receptor. Cannabidiol doesn't seem to really have a lot of impact on how THC functions when CBD is not around.
Okay. Interesting story coming out of the International Business Times. It says, school marijuana policies suspending students for pot could lead to more drug use. Dr. Mitch, I'm shocked. You mean kids, when they're not in school, might get involved with something bad?
I mean, this is so sad because the data we have suggests the best buffers against childhood marijuana problems are some kind of involvement in either community or school. So if you're, you know, great at math or you're great on some sports team or something like that, what a surprise. Even if you do experiment with cannabis, you're less likely to run into problems. Then we throw these kids out of school because they're busted for pot. I mean, make them, you know, make them clean the lockers with a toothbrush. Do anything you want, but don't disengage them from the things that we know are helpful. That's just ridiculous. And sure enough, these data do confirm, what a surprise, if you're suspended sitting at home all day in front of the TV, you might smoke even more pot.
You know, it seems to also comport with the new research and thinking we're getting from people like Johann Hari and others out there that are questioning, you know, what exactly addiction is. And I think it was Johann Hari on, maybe it was Bill Maher's show, where he said, what a surprise, we take people that, you know, that addiction is really a problem in connection, in a problem with socialization, not having those connections that we crave as social animals. So we do the very worst thing we could possibly do for that. We separate people from society.
Oh, and I mean, even going back to the animal literature in the 70s, where they had those rats that were grown in those ridiculously, you know, barren cages, and then the ones that had all kinds of fun things to play with, and what a surprise, the ones that had all kinds of fun things to play with and could hang out with each other, even if they did have, you know, access to drugs, they were much less likely to run into troubles.
Now, we've got kind of a flip side on this. From Business Insider, these economists have come up with a study that says students do better when they're not on drugs. What can we get from that one?
I wish they had actually, you know, put a link to the real paper here. So they've got this wild, you know, graph that you're supposed to try to interpret, and it's all allegedly empirical evidence, but we don't actually see what they did. They're just trying to make this argument that people from countries that were no longer allowed to get cannabis in the Netherlands, during that period, suddenly those people from those countries had their grades improve. And when you actually look at the graph, you see the grades are actually pretty variable, and the whole academic period flow is up and down all over the place. And I can't honestly tell if these variations are reasonable or significant or not. And I want to point out to everybody that anytime your graph doesn't go all the way down to zero, that usually means you're trying to make a little dinky difference look bigger. So this graph goes from 6.1 to 6.6. And so, of course, any variation looks really vast. But if you made it go all the way down to zero, you could barely see any of this variation. So I'm super suspicious of this.
All right. We've got a live call coming in from the 503 area code on our 84-420 radio phone line. You're on the air with Dr. Mitch. What's your question?
Hello.
Hello. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Yeah, my question is, with the legalization here in Oregon, do you think that the THC industry will have an impact? For example, the THC will get stronger or become more concentrated or more?
Yeah, it's interesting because the alcohol industry had a thing like this with the proof wars and beers and things like that. And I think actually the market is starting to send the message that people don't really need anything over, you know, 20% THC, and they're an interesting novelty once in a while, but at least from the way things look in Colorado right now, the, you know, Juicy Fruit, those sort of 17%, 15% THC things are actually selling very fine, and there's a huge interest in these high CBD strains, and I'm eager to see how that happens, but you know, this notion that we're going to suddenly have cannabis that's 50% THC, I don't even know if the plant will hold that. And in truth, I don't think that's what the market is looking for.
Right. I doubt that. Thank you for answering my question.
Sure thing.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Also, I often think that, you know, when you're crossbreeding the plant for THC and potency, are you not also trading off other characteristics, like perhaps the smell, the taste, and other cannabinoids?
It's funny because we're really in the dark about which terpenoids and flavonoids actually co-vary with that, and the CBD strains tend to decrease some of the aspects of the cognitive changes with the THC, and I think that has been an inadvertent thing where we've seen CBD kind of drop until relatively recently in the strains that have been showing up in the police evidence lockers. So it'll be interesting to see, but all in all, I don't feel like we're gonna go wild with suddenly there'll be, you know, this cannabis that's just an outrageous potency.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, aside from trips to the Midwest and experiencing, you know, Mexican dirt weed, I have never seen 3 to 5% THC cannabis until I did an event in Denver where a company was showing off its Sitka pre-rolled brand cigarettes that were 3 to 5% THC, you know, a lower potency for kind of just average casual consumption rather than blowing your mind with, you know, a big THC. So I actually think the market opens up a wider variety of THC potencies as we see more and more products trying to differentiate themselves and maybe reach out to a newbie market, you know, somebody who doesn't want to get super blitzed or doesn't have a super high tolerance. Folks, that's about all the time we got here with Dr. Mitch, but I want to remind you, you can get your questions in by email if we didn't get time to answer them today. The email address is 420 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And we visit with Dr. Mitch every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. If you missed any of this, the replay is coming up at 6:30 Pacific, so stay tuned for that. And Dr. Mitch, I hope things are getting warmer out there in upstate New York.
Slow and steady. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. And when we come back, we'll have time for our medical marijuana interview, an activist agenda interview with Barbara Humphreys, a breast cancer patient in Arlington, Texas, who's taking on the state and fighting for safe access. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after our anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I used to do drugs. And one morning I woke up, I looked in the mirror and I said, "You look frightening." Nobody said quit. And nobody said stop or else. I got sick of it, so I quit. And now, life's a beach.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here live in Arlington, Texas, where we're visiting with Barbara Humphreys, who is a breast cancer patient fighting for medical marijuana access here in the state of Texas. Barbara, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, you've been, like I said, fighting for this in the state of Texas for how long now? How's this? How did you come to be a marijuana activist?
Well, I attended my first global march back in May of 2014, and a week later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, so you had gotten the activism first.
Yeah.
And then found this out. Oh, my goodness.
So it kind of changed my whole reason for doing it. Yeah. It motivated me a lot more.
What was the original reason for wanting to get involved?
Well, I've always been in to cannabis my whole life. I've always believed that it's a great medicine, that it's great for to help people for many different reasons. So I already had an interest.
Okay, so you had an interest in reform, but just as a personal liberty sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you said a week later you get your diagnosis of breast cancer.
I did.
That must have been terrifying.
It was. It was the scariest time of my whole life.
Now, I imagine being involved with people who are into marijuana reform, you'd heard about these studies on THC and breast cancer and met, probably even talked to other cancer patients who've been using medical marijuana. Did that give you hope as you were moving forward?
Yes. Yeah. I started researching myself and I found a lot of different information about it, including that cannabis can even cause cell death in tumors, which I was like, wow, this is amazing. Why isn't this readily available to everybody?
Wow. So this, of course, is very motivating when your health is on the line. And when people hear this story, and I tell the story sometimes, and I'm, you know, nationwide on my show, they'll say, well, gosh, if it were my health, if my health on the line, I'd move. I'd move to California or Colorado or some other state to be able to deal with that. What's keeping you in Texas?
My family and my friends.
Yeah.
And I have two children that love their grandparents and everybody. You can't just uproot everyone and leave, and that wouldn't be fair for me to do that, put them through that.
Yeah, so we're going to fight here in Texas, and it's kind of an exciting time because, I, you know, watching from afar, I can check out what's going on with Texas politics, and you even got a East Texas representative who's not, he's going beyond even legalization. He wants deregulation, like treat it like tomatoes. But realistically speaking, what's happening in Texas as far as trying to move forward with at least medical marijuana?
Well, I've been to the Capitol on three occasions. I've been talking to representatives, senators, lobbying for the medical side. And then there was Rep. Marquez's bill that was just introduced, and I got to do the press release for that this last Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So what are some of the specifics in that? If we could get the best case scenario in these bills, would that be too late to help you? I mean, how long is this going to take?
I'm not really sure how long this is going to take. We're hoping for 2015, but respectfully, we're thinking maybe 2017.
Okay. And a lot of these bills, you know, it's when the headlines come across and they say, oh, there's a medical marijuana bill, people just think, oh, medical marijuana, and they don't pay attention to a lot of the details. Some states, I mean, most recently, the states since 2010 have all been passing medical marijuana where you couldn't grow your own. They force you to go to a dispensary. Other states talk about they have to get non-smokable forms. I mean, is there any of that going on with this bill? Do you know what it would let you do?
Yes, it would allow you to grow six plants in your home. And you could also get six plants from a dispensary as well.
So it does set up a dispensary system.
Yes.
Wow. See, now this would be remarkable if Texas could end that. I don't know, it's kind of like a trend that's been happening mostly on the East Coast where they don't want people to have the plants. This would be a big change. We're speaking with Barbara Humphreys here, and Barbara, if people want to get in touch with you and find out more about what's going on, you have some websites, Facebook and all that kind of stuff you can tell them?
Yeah, well, Facebook, you can just look me up, Barbara Humphreys. It's pretty easy to find me. I'm bald, so.
There might be more than one Barbara Humphreys, so look for Texas. You know,
yes.
Barbara Humphreys, you'll probably find her.
Yes.
As you've come under this diagnosis and had to adjust to living life with cancer and trying to beat it, how has that changed your perspective and your use of cannabis?
My perspective. It's changed my perspective on it because I've learned so much more about how many things that it benefits. And before, I thought it just made me feel good. You know, I liked the feeling of being high. But now it's more like, it's opened up this broad area that I never knew existed, and it's been amazing. Like, it's crazy.
Does it change from smoking to vaporization to edibles? I mean, is there any differences there?
Well, for treatments of certain disorders, it's better to ingest it or vaporize it as opposed to smoking. Like, to benefit cancer, it would be better for me to ingest it, which is why in places like Colorado, the Rick Simpson oil is so popular, because...
Yeah. Now that brings up a point about Texas law. If I'm not mistaken, they treat flower differently than they would treat a concentrated oil like a Rick Simpson's oil. It's a felony, right?
Yeah.
Oils? Okay.
It
so
is.
So that's one thing that's underestimated and not well understood by a lot of people. They fear this, the new concentrates, they're so powerful, the dabs, oh, they're 90% pure or whatever, which if you know of any 90% pure, please, you have my number. but they underestimate the fact that a patient like yourself is going to need mass amounts of cannabis to be able to have this effect. And, you know, to try to get that through puff and flower, there's going to be so much smoke involved.
Right.
It would be very harsh. So talk about, you know, that aspect of these laws.
Well, the aspect of the
of concentrate being felonious while flower is misdemeanor.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little tiny amount, and they're putting people in jail for 8 years over that. You know, it's insane. And not to mention, it only takes a little bit. So I really highly doubt that you could hurt yourself too badly just because it's a concentrate.
Yeah.
I think they're afraid of people blowing up their houses because they've seen it on news stories all over the country. But I mean, you can make it without blowing up your house. It's relatively safe, and in all honesty, it benefits the pain and everything associated with what I have. It helps. The concentrates are so much better.
Right.
Like the flower, I mean, it's just, it doesn't get you to where you need to be when you're dealing with something like this.
That's a very good point. And I think people need to understand that. And the point you make about being afraid of blowing up a house, I'm against anyone carelessly using explosive gases in residential situations. I don't care if it's for weed or for making anything. I don't care. But that's a product of prohibition. Right.
I mean, and if it was, passed here medically, then dispensaries could handle that safety point. It could be made and distributed, and it wouldn't be in someone's garage where they're not ventilating it and blowing up their house. So
right. Yeah, prohibition
could be regulated.
Absolutely. Now that you've stood up and made yourself known, you're in front of legislators, are you getting media coverage as well?
Yes.
So does this frighten you a little bit, getting the bullseye? No.
Not at all. Because I'm doing something that's good. I'm helping people. I'm not scared. And when somebody tells you you have cancer, you automatically think you're going to die. And when you think you're going to die, then nothing else is scary.
Yeah, right. What are they going to do? Put you in jail?
Yeah. I mean, that's not really that scary to me.
Wow. You are a true warrior. I'm so glad that you're standing up and that you're standing up and staying in Texas and fighting for the people here. Because like you say, you shouldn't have to choose between your health and your family and the state you love and all of that.
Right.
Wow. Barbara Humphreys, ladies and gentlemen, and what's next for you? What do you got? Any more presentations or bills or anything?
I'm going to the PACT Lobby Day, which is the Patient Alliance for Therapeutics, Cannabis Therapeutics, and it's coming up on the 25th. So I'm going to go try to talk to some more representatives about that. And then we have the Global Marijuana March coming up, which I'm hoping to be a speaker at. I will be a speaker at. And,
you just got approved.
Right. I just had someone ask me to come to Boston to do some speaking, so it's opening up some things for me.
Wow. It's just, you come to a march wanting to get involved, and, you know, it's tragic to get a diagnosis, but it's interesting how you've kind of turned lemons into lemonade here and are turning it outwards to help other people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will turn that inwards and get down and depressed, but it looks to me like you're really fighting and making a point to help others with this. So
yeah.
I want everyone to help Barbara Humphreys out if you can. So give them, again, any contact or funding information, anything that you can help out with that.
Well, I have a YouCaring site.
Do it.
You can look up Barbara Humphreys on YouCaring, and it's to help with, obviously, my medical bills are traveling and things of that nature for lobbying. Or, like I said, Barbara Humphreys on Facebook, or I have an email, which is rocksteadyalways@yahoo.com.
Right on. And before we go, Barbara, we've got Sean McAllister here as well from Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. And come on over here, Sean. Is there any other Texas information we need to get out or people need to know, go ahead and let them know.
If you're anywhere near Texas on May 2nd, you need to be in Fort Worth for the Global Marijuana March. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Last year we had almost 4,000 people attending. We're hoping for twice that this year. Please be there. I'll be there. Barbara's going to be there speaking. You should be there too. Herb's the word.
I'd be there if I didn't have to be in Portland. So folks, get involved. And if you're here in the North Texas area, area, DFW Normal is the premier chapter in the entire world, so you couldn't have a better place to get involved than right here. This is Barbara Humphreys. I wish you the best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
I have no doubt you're going to make a huge impact here in Texas. I'm Radical Russ, live from Arlington, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
Well, big thanks to Sean McAllister from DFW Normal for putting me up while I was down there in Texas and bringing Barbara Humphreys to my attention to come in and do that live interview. She was wonderful, and I know with great patients like her, activists like them fighting in Texas, that they're going to surprise us, folks. Texas is going to go legal faster than you think it will, whenever it is you think it will. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls toll-free at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Plus, we've got some more video from my travels, including a look at, Senator Floyd Prezansky's speech to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. We've got Bacon Dan calling in for Roots Monday, a look at equal legalization costs, and another look back at Ohio.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For everyone here at 420 Radio and Roland J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and then you'll see you make it.